You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's how tonight's show is going to go. We have excused the guests that we had planned to join us this evening in light of the events in Washington on Wednesday. What we're going to be doing tonight is very unusual. No guests. It's just going to be yours truly, James Edwards, and Keith Alexander, spending the entire 3 hours this evening offering opinion and commentary on the bedlam that took place at the U.S. Capitol. Thanks for being with us. My initial reaction, I will read a statement that I sent to a media outlet that had inquired about it, and we'll let that be the opening salvo, and then we'll take it from there. We're going to try to leave no stone unturned this evening, and I have a feeling, a pretty good feeling, that what took place this week is going to be talked about for weeks and weeks. So all of the great guests you tune in to hear, we'll have them on in a timely manner beginning next week, as the fallout from this will undoubtedly continue well into the near future. What took place at the U.S. Capitol is easy to understand. Congress had already publicly stated that it wasn't going to investigate or even consider allegations of voter fraud that nearly half of the American electorate believe to be legitimate and valid. When you refuse to even pretend to offer the citizens of a nation a redress of grievances, they can become unruly. And yes, I know that there was going to be a bit of a political theater in Washington this week planned, with some members of Congress objecting to the seating of the Electoral College, only to be quickly overruled in turn because the Democrats had the numbers to do so. But if you overlook the location where this week's unrest took place, the events that occurred on Wednesday, as ill-advised as they were relatively unremarkable when compared to even a garden variety Black Lives Matter riot. The media and the government, of course, were astonishingly silent a few months ago when BLM and Antifa burned cities across the country, costing billions of dollars worth of damage. They sacked police stations, and they took over major sections of American cities for weeks. Ultimately, Trump supporters broke some windows. They took selfies as if they were on a museum tour. Relatively little looting, destruction of property, no arson. Most were dispersing within 2 hours. Now, let me say again to be clear, I wouldn't have advised it, nor would I have participated in it. And I'm sure, and we know by now, law enforcement intends to deal very harshly with these people. Talk of treason and sedition charges have even been bandied about. But I do understand their frustration. They feel as though they have no voice. And the reason they feel that way is because they don't. Again, to understand why people do something is not to necessarily condone it. You don't do a half-cocked coup with no possibility of furthering your cause. They set themselves back. They set their cause back by every standard of measurement. Now, unfortunately, Trump supporters are going to receive the Charlottesville treatment. There's going to be a crackdown coming. I wrote this on Wednesday. So it's had a couple of days to age well. I wrote that there's going to be a crackdown coming with regards to censorship and an assault on our most basic rights that was heretofore unimagined. Donald Trump, the sitting president of the United States, has been now banned from all social media. He can't even send an email to his mailing list. This is the sitting president of the United States. Godspeed to the rest of us. But the thing that gets me in all of this is that the GOP congressmen or congresspersons, if you will, that had all agreed to challenge the certification of the electors instantly changed their tune and withdrew their challenges after the incident, all except for a scant few, including Josh Hawley, for instance. But from Lindsey Graham on down, they all folded. And At that point, it was immoral to even question if Biden had won. How convenient for the regime that that happened. Of course, one event has nothing to do with the other, but a cowardly pawn like a Marsha Blackburn or any of these other senators who just hours before, the day before, were saying, yes, we're going to challenge this voter fraud. I'm going to cast my lot behind the president to get to the bottom of all of this. And then you have what happened take place, and then all of a sudden it's anathema to even question whether or not it was a legal vote or a properly administered election. Any excuse to shirk their duty will do. One of it had nothing to do with the other. Either there was election fraud or there wasn't, but the fact that a fraction of 1% of the people who were in Washington on Wednesday engaged in some lawless behavior has nothing to do whether or not election fraud did or did not occur. Never once, of course, did a Democrat denounce their own terrorists, the Black Lives Matter terrorists, throughout the summer, throughout all of 2020, really. But I suppose now there's no room for Republicans in the Republican Party. And where was the Capitol Police? They deal with crowds like this all of the time. Washington, D.C. is the most secured city in the world. Why was there practically nothing more than a smattering of officers at the Capitol when they knew in advance that tens of thousands of Trump supporters were planning a march? It's almost as if the powers that be wanted things like this to happen, to change the focus of this election, and redirect it instead on how violent and lawless Trump supporters are. How very convenient. Of course, now, the left, which we're in a one-party state now, you know that. They have control of the media and the courts, as they always have. But now, in addition to that, they have control of the Senate, the House, and the presidency. And they are going to use this as a political football in ways that you haven't imagined in your worst nightmare. I saw where Senator Durbin, is already drafting up a bill to crack down on domestic terrorists. And of course, he defines domestic terrorists as so-called white nationalists, so-called white supremacists. It's really, I think, very much a window into the future of what you can expect. They're going to come down, and they're going to come down hard, and it's going to be, of course, selectively enforced, not even a pretense of legal neutrality. This bill names one specific ideological group to be the focus of federal, quote-unquote, law enforcement, but others, of course, get a pass. MAGA is about to get the Charlottesville treatment, and not a single Republican will utter a word in their defense. And why is that the case? Why is this the case? It's, as I always said, ladies and gentlemen, people will do whatever is most convenient, and in this case, most politically expedient for them to do. When there existed a day, and this day existed as late as Wednesday morning, when it was politically expedient to be a Donald Trump supporter, you had members of Congress, members of the Senate, all of these talking heads backing Donald Trump. But the moment it became a liability, forget principle, forget what's actually right or wrong, it became politically inconvenient for them to be associated with the Trump brand, and they are all now scurrying like rats off of a sinking ship. No honor, no loyalty, no integrity. We're just getting started. That's the opening salvo. I'm bringing in Keith Alexander. We're going to get to work right after this.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, the political cesspool, Saturday evening, January the 9th, the second show of the year. And Keith, last year was pretty incredible for all the bad reasons. This year, only one weekend, and it's surpassing it in some ways. We were talking earlier at dinner this evening, or supper, should I say, here in the South, but there was a comment I came across this week that said China has a state-run media, the United States has a media-run state, and indeed, the media was able to pull off the real coup of the week in effectively neutering and silencing the sitting president of the United States in a way that they only dreamed that they would have had the power to do back in 2015, 2016, when he was running. Still so much to happen with that. Will there be an impeachment? Will they invoke the 25th Amendment? What's going to happen? We got 3 hours to sort it out. There's so many layers to this onion, you don't really even know where to begin. I tried to paint in broad strokes that first segment, but take it away. What do you want to talk about? I mean, what angle of this do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's take the direct approach first. This is cultural Marxism in practice, what we're seeing here right now. The reason we have a media-run state is because of cultural Marxism. The cultural Marxists said that the communist Marxists were wrong in trying to gain or grab political power first and then transform the culture. That's why they said communism didn't spread beyond the Soviet Union after World War I. It was for 4 months in Hungary, 2 months in Bavaria, 1 weekend in Berlin. But other than that, it was beaten back by nativist nationalist groups headed by nativist nationalist leaders like Franco in Spain, Mussolini in Italy, and of course Hitler in Germany. So Marxist intellectuals said, what went wrong? How did Marx and Engels get it wrong? Well, they concluded that you have to capture the culture first, or else the people have the resources intellectually and spiritually to beat back communism. When you transform the culture, then political power, you don't have to worry about it, falls into your lap like ripe fruit. That's what has happened in America. We have had a cultural transformation during my lifetime, basically since the end of World War II. And we have basically seen the ascendancy of liberalism and the increasing marginalization of conservatism throughout American life in every way. And now they're in charge. They were alarmed to see a resurgence of nationalistic, populist conservatism represented by Donald Trump. They've beaten that back, totally defeated it. They're leaderless. Now, Donald Trump had some things going for him, but then on the other hand, he had some fatal flaws, and that's why when all was said and done, more was said than done in the Trump administration. The Trump administration is over. As I predicted, they're going to try to impeach him or do something so that he can never run for political office again. They're going to completely control the Republican Party. The Republican Party either is cowed by the fact that they got dirt on them, or they more likely it's this. They just want to assure the Democrats that they're all members of the same country club now, just like they were before, and that there's not going to be
We laughed about it. I said, well, what about the president of the country club?
Well, the president of the country club was a bounder like Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack, okay? And
this week, but it is needed. Well, Keith, where to start with all of this and where it's going? I will tell you this, now is a time for us to come together and reason as the Lord instructs us in the Bible. So many reactionary, half-baked, fear-induced, panicked responses and denunciations and shuffling of feelings. We don't do that here, and we're not going to do that. Now, you know, again, I was actually talking with Rich, our good friend Rich, and Rich said last Tuesday, or this Tuesday, however you want to put it, the day before the unpleasantness, he said, I'm getting some Charlottesville vibes. And I said, no, I don't think so. I said, I think it's going to be relatively uneventful. I think they're going to come. I put this up on Twitter. I said, I think the people will come. The president will speak. They'll mill around in the cold until they tire and go home, and that'll be that. And I was certainly wrong about that, and Rich was 100% right, and now they're all going to be Charlottesville'd, if that's a new term we can introduce. Joe Biden, for all the people, though, who are trying to run from Trump, I will say this very directly. Trump is still so vastly favorable to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And to what's coming, all of the people out there ostensibly on our side who have been bad-mouthing Trump for months now, what's going to happen under Biden is going to be so much worse by every standard of measurement, you can't even believe it. Joe Biden already is saying today, to go back to the Charlottesville analogy, that everyone there at that event. Now, if there ever was a truly mostly peaceful protest, what we saw on Wednesday was it. Now, again, we don't advise, we don't support the lawlessness. It sets your cause back. There was no chance of anything good coming from it. For that reason and others, it was not a good thing to do. But all of those people there now, according to without a doubt, the incoming president, he said they were Nazis, white supremacists, and anti-Semites. Now, everybody is an anti-Semite who was there. Where do you even get that? Well, to understand that, of course, you'd have to go back and read my book from 10 years ago. We were almost prophetic in saying this is where the things are going. And now, of course, they're there. And it's even worse than it ever was in 2010, God knows. But Biden, between Biden and Durbin, Biden's introducing everyone that was at the rally as a white supremacist, Nazi, anti-Semite. Durbin's coming in now with the one-party state in control of everything and saying we're going to introduce new legislation to go after these specific people, not anybody who would engage in some sort of lawlessness or so-called insurrection or sedition or treason, but just these guys, the guys that they refer to as white supremacists, Nazis, and anti-Semites. And by the way, if you're wondering who those people are, it's everybody who voted for the president of the United States.
Right. There, you can run, but you can't hide. All these people that think that somehow they've carved out a dispensation for themselves are in for a rude awakening. Basically, what happened was a coup that's been in brewing in liberal circles since at least 2015 and possibly before that is coming to fruition, and it's come to fruition in a more fortuitous way than they could ever have imagined. This is what has happened. basically Trump and all the people that he inspired are now in abject defeat, okay, as a result of this. Trump is not going to come pull a rabbit out of his hat and save the day. I think both James and I were very dubious that any real progress was going to be made on January the 6th, but we bit our tongues and held back because we didn't want to give aid and comfort to the enemy.
I will say this. No, I believed that there was... Look, when the President of the United States, along with people like Rudy Giuliani and Ted Cruz and various members of the United States Senate and dozens of members of the United States House of Representatives, when they say, when they all say that there is election fraud, I believe it enough to want to see the evidence. And I do believe that there was election fraud. Now, I always did say I'd like to see if it was enough to actually overturn the election. It wouldn't surprise me had it been. But what I was hoping for, we knew that the courts and the media was going to suppress any allegations of voter fraud or election fraud, which they did. What I was hoping for out of the Dog and Pony Show that was supposed to have taken place on Wednesday in Congress before the unruliness and that shot all of that down. I was hoping that there would be at least enough evidence presented to where the president could take another action, like an insurrection act or something like that. But that was all done. It was all done once the knuckleheads got in there and put an end to it.
Look, they weren't knuckleheads. And by the way, there was more than enough election fraud to have supposedly, to have legally and properly turned around the election. But I knew when the media continued to speak with one voice that it probably wasn't going to go anywhere. We'll talk more and more about this after these words from our sponsor.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
As coronavirus cases continue to surge across the nation, President-elect Joe Biden wants to release most of available coronavirus vaccine doses to quicken the pace of mass vaccinating the American population. As far as if this move will accelerate the pace, Dr. Nicole Sapphire believes...
I'm not sure that it's smart to release all of the supply, especially because at this point, out of the millions of doses that's already been sent out, we've only been able to get about 30% of them into the arms of Americans. So what is sending out more supply going to do at this point? What we really need to be doing is expanding access to the vaccine that we already have.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, Arizona resident Jake Angeli, who was seen wearing horns and a headdress at the riots on the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, has been arrested on federal charges. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio. Did you know this station, this network is looking for their next rock star broadcaster? That's right, we are. And it could be you. It could be you interviewing the guests, talking to the newsmakers right in the middle of everything. Have you ever dreamed of being a rock star show host? Now could be your chance. Together with this station, we'll help you with everything you need. The studios, the equipment, your own producer, a co-host if you'd like, and so much more. Broadcasting is changing. There's never been a need for fresh voices and unique opinions like there is right now. You can do this. Our professional team will guide you every step of the way. Sound effects, show content, building your social network media, and everything you need to be the next rock star broadcaster. Get all the details. Email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. To get started with your own show, email Bill at rockstar.today. That's Bill at rockstar.today. Don't wait. You could be the next voice for America. Email Bill at rockstar.today.
Kim Jong-un has threatened to build more nuclear weapons.
The North Korean leader says the fate of relations with the United States depends on whether it abandons its hostile policy, according to state media reports. Kim made the comments and disclosed a list of high-tech weapon systems under development during a key meeting of the ruling party this week. President-elect Joe Biden has called Kim a thug and criticized his meetings with President Trump. Trump began talks with Kim in 2018 to disarm, but talks broke down when Kim requested sanctions be relaxed. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
The Mega Millions jackpot is rolling over to $600 million. The numbers for last night's lottery drawing were 3, 6, 16, 18, and 58, with the Mega Ball 11. Lottery officials say no one matched all six numbers, but there were several million-dollar winners. Saturday's Powerball jackpot is set for just over $470 million. That drawing set for Saturday night. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I want to make haste here and go through the events of Wednesday in a more or less chronological order. And, Keith, I'll make a couple of points. You give us your commentary on it. Again, I never can get that right. Would that be the color commentary if this was a sports show? Or
I guess.
I do the play-by-play? Anyway, okay, so it all started, of course, after Trump's speech with the convening of Congress to certify the electoral votes. Now, the certification of the electoral votes in Arizona was contested to standing applause. When it was contested, many of the Republicans stood up and applauded. It was political theater, but it was still historic and relatively unprecedented, and all of it erodes faith and trust in the system, which I said at the time was a necessary first step. Then they began to debate the objections to the certification, and I listened to both Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer speak. Both were in opposition to letting the evidence be presented. And I said it was a pretty pathetic lot when Ted Cruz had the biggest set of cojones in the room. Again, this was all just minutes before everything that did happen happened. And then just within the first several minutes of this convening of Congress, you had the Capitol breached. Now, I asked at the time, this is not a rhetorical question. I did not know at the time that it was treason to enter into the Capitol building. I thought it was a public building. And I asked, do the people not have a right to access it? Now, I know you can't just walk into the White House, for instance, but you hear people all the time having meetings with their congressman or whatever. They set an appointment. I didn't know that you couldn't just walk around and perhaps browse around in the lobby of the Capitol. And you see, of course, some videos you see of people obviously breaking windows and going through locked doors. You know not to do that. Good judgment should tell you not to do that. But if you were in the back of the crowd and by the time you got there, the doors were open and you walked in, I mean, you saw some footage as well as I did, Keith, of little old ladies, little grandmas wearing their masks and with an American flag in the hand. They stayed in between the ropes in Statuary Hall like they were on a guided tour. You saw little old ladies walking through. These people weren't committing acts of treason or sedition. I wonder how many people knew that they were not supposed to go in. And in fact, you even have seen videos of Capitol Police inviting them in, opening doors, taking selfies with the people. Even the people who were in there in a more aggressive manner, like the guy with the Viking horns and all of this, the cops were just sort of loitering around with them. So that again, very, very strange to me. The whole thing was just very strange.
Well, you were seeing an optical illusion, James. Apparently, those little old blue-haired ladies with the American flags were actually Nazis and Klansmen, according to Dick Durbin. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, these are the the worst people in the world. In fact, they are several ranks below Nazis in the eyes of the left. But on the other hand, getting back to your primary point about why shouldn't American citizens have access to the Capitol building, look. Redress of grievances before the government is the very foundation of the First Amendment. If people don't have a right to seek to redress grievances by, for example, going to the Capitol building, going inside the Capitol building, confronting legislators and letting them know about their grievances, then the whole First Amendment and the whole Bill of Rights is nothing but window dressing. And that's what it has become, unfortunately, in the current day. What, you know, go ahead, James.
Well, no, I'm just going to continue to ask you questions, and you give me a quick shot back. We'll go back and forth, and we'll never get through it all because there's so much to unpack here. That's, again, why we dismissed our invited guest tonight, and we're gonna regroup with them next week as this thing continues to unfold. And by the way, this will unfold for weeks and months to come. I mean, we know a lot of the people that were inside the Capitol have already been arrested, and they're facing some heavy, heavy charges.
And that's why I didn't go to D.C. as I was invited to do by Sam. I knew this was going to be another Charlottesville situation. I felt it in my bones, and that's exactly what's happening. Basically, if you went to this gathering in D.C., no matter how pure and how naive your motives, you are now on a blacklist.
Well, 99.9% of the people there are, I'm sure, very good people. But I said at the time it was interesting, it will be interesting, and it has been interesting, contrasting how law enforcement, the media, the government handles today the crowd on Wednesday as they did with the Black Lives Matter insurrectionist. And, of course, we saw it. I mean, we saw live ammunition being used on an unarmed woman.
One way that this will not be like Charlottesville is that Ashley Babbitt will not become the second Heather Heyer. Okay?
14-year
veteran.
Military veteran.
Attractive, as opposed to this 350-pound beluga whale that just bumped into the car and fell down and had a heart attack or something at Charlottesville. We're now, Ashley Babbitt is one of these bad people, terrible. She had no weapon with her. She was just standing there when she was shot by a Capitol policeman.
She crawled through a window, okay? She shouldn't have been there. They were trying to go in a locked door. I think, you know, again, if a door is locked.
But on the other hand, that's not, believe me, if this had been, let's say, a white police officer and a Black Lives Matter protester. I mean, this would be the second Emmett Till.
We'll get to that, but again, that's another interesting thing in the situation with Ashley Babbitt when she was killed. There were three. These aren't rent-a-cops, okay? There were three Capitol Hill police officers standing in front of the door. They casually walked away and gave access to the crowd. That's when they busted out the window. She tried to crawl through and was instantly shot. And as soon as she was shot, tactical police officers were right there and moved in. I mean, they could have stopped. I say again, why was the law enforcement so unprepared? They deal with crowds and marches like this all the time. They only had what seemed to be at the beginning of it all, a handful of people who accommodated the crowd more than anything. Yeah, yes, I did. I'm being fair. I saw some videos of some police scuffling over some makeshift barricades with some protesters, and there was that. But there was a lot of acquiescing as well from law enforcement.
Let me tell you the way it was like Charlottesville, again, drawing that parallel. It was basically and enticing these people into a kill box. We've seen all sorts of footage of the police taking down barriers and basically inviting the people in. You look at the back door of the Capitol building where the parking lot is and where most of the members of Congress and Senate come in. They had no barriers at all. These people were just strolling
in
there.
But you see, again, the people who were wrestling with police officers, there's no excuse for that. They need to have some punishment. I don't know if it's actually treason, which is what they're banding about here, but for a lot of the people, they met no resistance whatsoever. They were just following the crowd wherever the crowd flowed, and that was what was going on with most of the people, not the people, again, breaking windows and doors. But really was an incredible image, so many incredible images, people completely encircling the Capitol. Now, I actually did talk to one of the people who was there. He just went up there. He's a handyman, and he was there. Actually, believe it or not, I didn't know this guy before 2 days ago. He came to repair something in my home, and he made mention of the fact that he was there. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And I said, well, really, you were there? I mean, what are the odds? And I said, tell me about it. And he said the group of people he went with were there to support the president. Nothing wrong with that. And he said that he did see people going in, and he thought rightly that that wasn't a good idea. But he said he was with a large group of people who were singing God Bless America and the national anthem and praying together. Now, I am telling you that there probably were a lot more people with that sort of mindset going to support the president, to back up the president and his allegations of voter fraud, didn't go there to take any action that led to the comeuppance that they're all going to be tarred with now.
Well, what it shows you is that there is a definite double standard in the way that left-wing protesters like Black Lives Matter and Antifa are treated by the media and by the government, on one hand, in how normal American citizens that happen to be Republicans and supporters of Donald Trump are treated on the other. Basically what they're doing the same lesson that they did with former Germans that moved around the world and whatnot. Now they're getting these 100-year-olds on oxygen tanks and whatnot, sending them back to Israel for trial. Likewise, the same thing in the civil rights movement where they would try the same person seven or eight times until they finally got a conviction. The left is trying to make this point to the whole world and to the American people in particular. Nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. You cannot oppose the leftist takeover of American, not just government, but society and culture, without being a villain and being punished for it.
We have an email from our listener, Tom, who writes, I'm seeing numerous stories of former and current state legislators from a number of states who claim they were in the Capitol. And yes, again, you would think that if it was so wrong that they would have known better. And again, I say there was no preconceived plan. There was no
attempted coup d'etat.
Right. I mean, obviously, they're going to use this to advance their agenda, or enemies will, as they always do. And whatever laws were broken, those people should pay the price. But the amount of blowback this is going to generate.
And on the other hand, think about all the people
that realize the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith. To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
One thing 2020 has made crystal clear. For liberty lovers, hope lies where it always has, in our own hands. So join us at Liberty Hall on Saturday, January 16th for a preparedness fair. With speakers on topics from health to food growing, prepping supplies, first aid, self-reliance, and more. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, January 16th. Go to lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We really do have to pick up the pace a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen, because this thing is still evolving in real time, and if we don't get through everything we want to say this week, it's just going to be snowed under by the time next week's news accumulates and rolls around. But one thing, Keith, another thing that just big takeaway for me was seeing, as this was occurring in real time, one Republican official after another being trotted on to Fox News and other outlets to condemn their own voters. Not one Democrat condemned or virtue signaled against their supporters when they literally just earlier in the year in the very same city burned Washington as if they were the British coming in the 1800s. The media and the government couldn't have cared less when BLM and Antifa were burning those cities. And everything the media was saying about the protesters on Wednesday should have been said during the months of rampant BLM anarchy across this country. It's either all right or it's all wrong. They made the bed and they should lay in it. I don't want to hear about how sad and terrible this is if you condone it when another group of people does it with a different political agenda. And here is what you can understand, ladies and gentlemen, is if one segment of the population sees another segment of the population engaging in lawless behavior, and in response to that lawless behavior,
and getting no pushback or no retro,
well, worse
no
than
punishment.
That, worse than that, Keith, it wasn't just that they were never punished and they weren't, but they received concessions, billions of dollars. Their demands were catered
and
to.
Nothing so, but confirmation from the media. The media was saying, we need to understand these people. We need to make concessions to these people.
Well, that's exactly right. And so when one group of people sees another group of people engaging in similar, but much more, in my opinion, serious actions. I mean, it looked like they absolutely, it was the firebombing of Dresden in Minnesota this summer, and they are coddled. You have to understand that that this action could come from a group of people with differing
political
agenda.
They made the mistake of assuming that equality, which is always being preached by the left, is really a principle that operates in American society today. There's no equality of treatment. Like you said, this is now undoubtedly a one-party state. That's what the United States has become. And when you have a one-party state, it becomes authoritarian and tyrannical in a very big hurry. For example, what will happen if it happens like all the other revolutions in which one-party rule emerge from the struggle, you're going to find that the most radical elements of the winning part is going to come to the fore. They're going to be the ones in charge. The Mensheviks will not be in charge. The Bolsheviks will, to use the Russian Revolution as an example, or if you want to use the French Revolution, the Girondists will not be in control. The Jacobins will.
A guy that I follow on social media asked, is rioting, and this is to your point a moment ago, is rioting still the language of the unheard? I'm asking for a friend. And then Andrew Joyce, very tongue-in-cheek, by the way, wrote, this was my worry. They were in such a late stage of postmodernity that even in the seized halls of power, all we could do is get some selfies. And that's what was going on. Now, more photographic evidence and more video evidence did come to light in the wake of what I was commenting on in real time on Wednesday, that shows me that, yes, some of these people did engage in some vandalism and destruction. And again, I favor the rule of law against friends and enemies. I think it should be a blanket thing. But again, the fact of the matter remains, as we have been, of course, talking about, BLM could have set the Capitol on fire and defaced it with their usual graffiti, and the media would be telling us it's a mostly peaceful protest. The Republican Party, though, hates its base. It is embarrassed by them. And with any luck, if one good thing will come from what happened on Wednesday, it will be the political death of the Republican Party. We can certainly all hope for that. I have to keep belaboring this point, though. Not one Democratic representative condemned what the Democrats did to Washington, D.C. just a few months prior. And I think the Democrats and the media have to be laughing themselves silly, Keith, to see all of these Republicans, from Mike Pence all the way down, condemning their own supporters. The left would never do that. We need to take a page from that playbook.
Well, let's just stop right there for just a second. Why are the Republicans so feckless? Or spineless, or what? It's one of two things. It's either that they've got the deep state has the dirt on them, and having the dirt nowadays has changed. It used to be if you were caught cheating on your spouse or in some type of homosexual relationship, that was enough. The threat of having that disclosed was enough to keep people in line. But with the sexual revolution and the homosexual rights movement, that has transpired during my lifetime, those are yawners now. It doesn't matter. You know, you can get away with cheating on your spouse. You can get away with homosexual activities. So they've had to go even deeper into depravity. What they have gone into is nothing less than pedophilia. That's what Jeffrey Epstein was providing for the deep state. He was getting these highly placed people, taking them to on the Lolita Express to whatever island it was, and putting them, matching them up with underage kids, boys and girls, okay? And they got the goods on them there, got the film, and that was one way to keep them in control. That may be one explanation that these insiders in the Republican Party know that they are vulnerable. But I don't really think that's it. My instinct tells me instead it's basically this collegial atmosphere that develops in places like the Senate and, to a lesser degree, the House of Representatives. Basically, when you see Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer yucking it up on the side when the cameras aren't rolling, it lets you know these people feel they belong to a very exclusive country club. And the whole purpose of a country club is that we're members and the rest of you people out there aren't. And consequently, these people like their prerogatives, they like their power, they like the wealth that people like Joe Biden have been able to transform their position into a magnet for. So they want to go back to business as usual, having somebody who's a wrecking ball or a bull in a china shop like Trump in there. They're all secretly, or not so secretly, breathing a sigh of relief that now that's gone and they can go back to fleecing the public.
You mentioned conservatives being so feckless. They are the most feckless on the planet. What should have been said is we don't condone lawless behavior, but we're going to fight against censorship. They are basically just sacrificing their base. They completely capitulated on the issue of whether there was or wasn't election fraud. The moment this happened, they joined in the course of the Democrats to eat their own. Quit apologizing for your base. Just shut up.
Well, it's obvious.
But they prefer to lose, Keith. They enjoy losing. They prefer it. They'd rather lose than win. And that's always been the case with conservatives. Today is no exception. It was true all the way back to the time of R.L. Dabney. It's time for bold men to find a new way.
Well, look, you look back at time, and what has happened is that election fraud, it was obviously a fraudulent election, and it was obviously a stolen election. There's just too much evidence out there, and the thing to do is deny, deny, deny. That's what they have always done when you have no other argument. You just deny that there's anything wrong whatsoever. So they've forgotten that. They basically look and see how CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC are covering this. And, of course, they're always going to cover it the same way. Conservative complaints are illegitimate. They're either hatched because of the stupidity of conservatives or the mendacity of conservatives. So, consequently, if you're waiting for MSNBC to say, gee whiz, guys, you were right. There was election fraud. There was something. See, that's what critical theory in cultural Marxism tells you. They say never concede that your argument, that your opponent has made a valid argument about anything. So consequently, that's what you're seeing in real time with the reaction of the mainstream media to these allegations of election fraud. It's critical theory, and critical theory demoralizes the other side. They say, gee whiz, if these people don't ever acknowledge that we have made a point, maybe we are wrong.
Going back the last 12 months, all we've seen over the course of the last 12 months, what we saw on Wednesday was hardly the most brazen act of lawlessness that we've seen in the last year. The media, again, calling the mostly peaceful protesters we saw in Washington rioters, while referring to the rioters we saw all last year fielded by BLM and Antifa as mostly peaceful protesters. And then there was Congress. This is something we haven't talked about yet. So you've got these unarmed people. They didn't have weapons. They were coming in. They were beating on doors. They wanted to see the congressman. And who knows? Maybe they would have roughed him up. We don't know because nothing like that happened. So we can only speculate. But you got this image of all of these congressmen who so willingly and so easily send your sons to die in unnecessary wars for foreign regimes. There they were hiding and crawling on the floor like the vermin that they are, a den of vipers. Ultimately, their work day was interrupted by a few hours. They went back to work that evening, and they finished certifying the election, whether it was a lawfully executed election. We'll never know, because the Republicans, as they always do, caved at the first excuse they received.
Well, look, I'll hand them credit for this. They did bring it out there, and they've had some very staunch advocates like Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell, Rudy
Sidney
Giuliani,
Powell's getting, like Dr. Evil, getting sued for $1 billion now.
Well, believe me, there's a lot more to unpack here, folks. We'll be back to do the unpacking after these words from our sponsors.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.